Start recording, Aurora. If Jesus does it for one, he'll do it for you. If he does it for multitudes, he also will do it for you. And so the thing about it, a lot of times it's like, wow, that's good for them, but what about me? And so I'm going to share in Matthew chapter 8 of different times when Jesus healed people. It doesn't matter if they were saved or unsaved. What matters is where their faith is at that moment in time with Jesus. And so it picks up in Matthew chapter 8 here. And it goes, verse 1, it goes, a large crowds followed Jesus as he came down from the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. What a statement. Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. I think the Lord is willing to heal. But sometimes we don't think he's willing to heal us. Because I've run across it. Well, you know, Pastor, if I understand God doesn't heal me. Well, I don't understand that because he said he wants to heal people. So why would he want to heal you? And a lot of times people will give me a list. Well, because I've done X, Y, Z in my past. Okay, like that disqualify you from God's grace, from God's love, from his mercy? No. No, it doesn't disqualify you for what God has intended. It might slow you down from everything God has for you because you chose to do something he didn't like or was not pleased with. But guess what? His healing is for those who are willing to approach him, just like this man with leprosy. And remember, leprosy was a disease of the skin. And after a while, the skin disease would start taking off body parts. And it would actually be a gruesome and slow death. And so when they, and it was a, if you laid hands on where they're infected, you would also get it. And so when Jesus would lay hands on sick people, they're like, oh man, he's donezo. But he never got sick out of all that. And so when that man would came, remember, he's by himself. They would have areas outside of towns where leopards would stay. It would be called leopard colonies. And so they would stay there, basically say, well, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Because even with doctors, they don't really fix the problem. They just mask the problem. Jesus fixes the problem. He heals and renews. And so the thing about it is that here he is. He comes in. And so he would, if he came in quietly, he'd be going against the law. Remember, they're still under the law at this time when Jesus was born, and Jesus would have been under the law and all that when he was born. And so this man, if he came in quietly without telling people he had leprosy, they could have stoned him right there on the spot. And so he would have to come in and say, unclean! Unclean! And people would say, like pardon, like the Red Sea. And they would say, hey, stay away from him. Stay away from him. Don't be by him because you're going to get what he has. But Jesus says, come. Jesus says, come. It doesn't matter what you have. I am greater than that. The power that is in Christ, that is now in us, is greater than this. Greater than the leprosy. So he comes up to Jesus and asks him, Lord, if you're willing. Lord, if you're willing, will you do this for me? I mean, that question's almost like doubting, like, I don't know. Will you, Jesus? You can heal me and make me king if you're willing. I mean, if you're not, I get it. I understand, because I am a leper. I'm unclean. I deserve this. And here, Jesus replies. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Who knows the last time this man was touched? Ever since he got leprosy, no one touched him. Could you imagine going a week without any physical touch from somebody? No handshake, no hug, no high five, no fist bump, no nothing. No cuddling with your dog, Jerry, nothing. Nothing. Now do that another week. Then another week. Then it's been a month. We don't know how long he's had it. But he knows he has it. Matthew, as he writes this down, knew he had it. So there's probably some physical representation of what's taking place on his body at this moment in time. And so you think about it, he's not just having this disease, he's also getting shunned. And the only people he's hanging out with are those who have no hope in life. And Jesus comes up, and the first thing, he doesn't even say a word to him at first. He comes up and lays his hands on him. And that shows that his life is important to Jesus. His life is that important to Jesus. And then he goes, as he lays his hands on him and touches him, he goes, I'm willing. I'm willing to do that. He's willing to do it. He's willing to touch that hurt. He's willing to touch that issue. He's willing. But think about it. If that man didn't, if he stayed in his colony, if he stayed away from Jesus, Jesus was still willing. He's still willing. Even if you're not going to come and approach Jesus and open up to him and say, hey, Jesus, are you willing? He still is. And he says, the thing about this is his prayer. Be healed. That's all he says. Simple and straight to the point. And it's done. Sometimes we're like, wow, I got to say this long prayer. No, all you do is you reach him, you say, be healed. And the guy was healed. And guess what? The same power that's in Jesus to heal people, it's the same power in you to go out and do likewise. It's not my job to heal people. It's not my job to give words of encouragement. My job is to be obedient to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit work through me. It's the Holy Spirit's job to heal people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to work through me. That's why it says the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they're not my gifts. And he gives them to us so we can walk them out, so we can open them up and use them for his glory. But sometimes we don't even know we have the gift. The worst gift is the one that you don't know you have. You ever pull out an old jacket and like from a year ago and there's something in there like, hey, here, right, $5 or whatever. You're like, wow, it's a gift that you didn't know have until you pull it out. You're like, wow. And so that's the same thing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't even know we have them because we're not even trying to use those gifts. And Jesus is like, I'm going to use these gifts. And he goes, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone. Really, Jesus? There's a large crowd following you. This man comes in. We don't know if he's saying unclean or not. And now you're telling, don't tell anybody? There's a crowd following you. Everybody's going to tell everyone else about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along an offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. In other words, he's saying, for us, we can go back to the doctors and say, hey, doctor, I've been prayed for. I've been touched by the Holy Spirit. I'm healed. Okay, let's verify. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, go back. He's still under the law. He's sending them back to the priests. The priests were the ones that made sure people were clean and unclean. And there was an offering that was presented according to the Old Testament law. And so Jesus was telling them, fulfill that as well as Jesus healed them. And then, verse 5. Okay, and that will be your public testimony. Our public testimony is what Jesus has done. Then, so that's the first thing. Second thing, Jesus returned to Capernaum. A Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Now, we don't know if this leprosy man was Jewish or not. Doesn't say. But now we know a Roman. The Romans didn't like the Jews. The Jews didn't like the Romans. They did not like each other. And here comes a man who is an officer. Who came and pleaded with him, Lord, your young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus says, I will. Here he goes again. Saying, I'm willing. Now he says, I will come and heal him. See, Jesus is willing to go where he's invited. Jesus is willing to go. And so wherever you go, as a believer, the Holy Spirit's with you. You take him with you. Everywhere you go, you got Jesus with you. And the thing about it is that this officer, and they don't even have to be saved for God to touch them. But the officer says, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come to my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go and they go, or come and they come. And I will say to my slaves, do this and they will do it. So he's not even saying, hey, Jesus, you got to come. But Jesus is willing to go wherever there's a need. And this officer understands authority and says, just send your word. Just say the word because I believe what you're going to say. I believe in what you're doing because I know you're willing. Jesus could have said, no, I don't have time for you. You're a Roman officer. You know, sorry, that life is useless. No, all life is valuable to God. Every single life. It doesn't matter if they're the hardness of criminals to the gentlest of giants. Their life, if they're breathing, their life is valuable to God. It doesn't matter if they're unborn or if they're the elderly of the eldest. The thing about it is that God still values life. That's the most important thing he values over anything else. Because that's the first thing he created. He created us with life. And he wants to give us life abundantly. And so when people say, well, my life doesn't matter. It does matter. Or when we say, well, their life. No, it does matter. Every single person who's breathing, their life matters to God. Because God says, I don't want any to perish. I don't want any to go to hell. I want them all to go to heaven. And so here, Jesus is demonstrating how much he values life. Even those who hated him, he still valued their life. And so Jesus is now going to turn his attention to the great crowd that is following him, the large crowd. And he goes, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed by this man's faith. He was amazed by what he said. By believing if Jesus would just send the word. You know, there's a song. You sent your word and you healed. Jesus desires to heal. And sometimes we think that our prayers don't make a difference. But they do. Because if Jesus did it for the lepers, and now he's going to do it for this Roman guy, officer, don't you think your life is valuable enough for God to touch it, to heal it? And so Jesus goes on and goes, I'll tell you the truth. Aren't you glad that Jesus tells us the truth? I think it's interesting, Jesus never lied, and he starts out this statement, I tell you the truth. You know, it's usually when people say, I tell you the truth, you're like, are you really telling me the truth? What, you haven't been telling me the truth before? What are you going to say later is not going to be the truth? But Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Think about that. His 12 disciples are with him. This man who was just healed by leprosy. Jesus is saying, I still haven't seen faith like this man. See, there's people who are looking for answers that will have more faith than those who are praying. See, it doesn't always depend on my faith to heal people. It depends on the one who's receiving as well. But sometimes, because if I didn't have faith in Jesus to heal, I wouldn't be praying. But I believe he heals today. He still heals tonight. And guess what? He's going to heal tomorrow and the next day. And so, he was like, and all of Israel, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, there's going to be a time when Gentiles will be invited back into the family. And right now is the time. We're Gentiles. If you have no Jewish blood in you, you're Gentile. Well, I think we're all probably Gentiles 100%. And the thing about it, we are grafted back into the family. We are now part. And the thing about it, he goes, Jesus is going all the way back to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to their father of their faith, which is now the father of our faith. And so we go all the way back and we say, if it's the Jewish father, he's my father. If Abraham was the Jewish father of faith, he's also my father of my faith. And Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a feast, y'all. As much as we love to eat here on earth, nothing's going to compare to manna in heaven. Nothing's going to compare to God's feast in the kingdom. As much as food tastes so good when you break a fast, it will never taste as good as the food that's going to be in heaven. You don't have to worry about pesticides. You don't have to worry about any weird ingredients. You don't have to worry about anything of that. Because when Jesus makes a feast, it's a nummy feast. And you're invited to the table. He's inviting you to the table as a Gentile. He's opening the door. And the thing about it, this Roman guard, this Roman officer was saying is helping Jesus open the door to the kingdom of God for the Gentiles to walk into the kingdom, to receive what God has for us as Gentiles. So you think about it, you could be a gateway for somebody because you're willing to receive Jesus. You're willing to ask Jesus. You're willing to say, hey, Jesus, just send your word. I believe you can do it. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then he goes, but many Israelites, those from whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown out, thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And unfortunately, Jesus is saying, some of you guys won't make it because it's not about religion. It's not about good works. It's not about dressing nice. It's not about doing all these different things. It's about the invite. And when Jesus went to the cross, the invite went out to everyone. Everybody's invited. But the thing about it, when people are invited, not everybody comes. You ever invited people? You're going to have a birthday party, you invite 10 people, but not everybody shows up. And you're like, why didn't they show up? I have free cake and ice cream. They didn't have to give me anything. I even have pizza on the side for them. You know, you could lay out the smorgasbord of tables. And the thing about it, not everybody will come and receive what God has for them. And sometimes the closest, you know, the thing about it, Judas was very close to Jesus. He traveled with him for three and a half years. And yet he turned on him. And so the thing about it is that all Jesus can do is the invite. And whoever shows up, shows up. But the thing about it, Jesus is preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for us. Just like the bridegroom, when the father of the bride and of the groom would get together and say, all right, our two siblings are going to get married. And the groom will go back and start building an addition onto the house. Jesus is building an addition onto the house for the bride to come. And when the house was ready, the groom came and gathered the bride with him, and he went back to his house. But in the meantime, that's the reason why there was really no wedding. You know how, like in April, May, June is like wedding time in Minnesota. Finally got nice, and everybody's like, yeah, let's get married, you know, and stuff like that. And all the flowers are a little bit more expensive. The cakes are a little bit, I mean, just do it off. But here, there is no wedding season. It was when the house was ready. And so the thing about it is that he would come and they would start cheering that the house was done. They would blow trumpets. Just like when Jesus comes, the trumpet's going to blow to take his bride away back to heaven. And guess what? He has a house for you. And he wants to dwell with us for eternity. And so unfortunately, Jesus said, who wants to be part of the church? And I don't mean a local church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Who wants to become a part of the kingdom of God? He invites out there. And the thing about it, you can invite, but they have to choose to come. As they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I never tried, so I assume that's true. But all I know is that you can fix food, and doesn't mean people will eat it. Because if they're not hungry, they won't eat. Or if it looks kind of nasty, they don't eat it. And so, in verse 13, and Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed it has happened. Think about it. Because you believe it has happened. That's all. Jesus didn't even pray. Think about it. First guy gets healed by two words. Be healed. Second guy gets healed because they believed. And Jesus just said, we don't know what he said. We don't know how he got healed. All we know, he's now healed. Because if Jesus can do that for them, do it for them, what about us? Verse 14. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law is now sick. He wants to heal your family. Think about it. We don't know the nationality of this first person. Second person is a Roman. And now Peter's mother-in-law is Jewish. Guess what? Does it matter where you're at? Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to touch you. Because if he can do it for now these three was sick in bed with high fever, but when Jesus, he doesn't even pray. When Jesus touches her hand, the fever left. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. Think about that. She felt so well. She's like, all right, hey, I'm ready to cook some food. Who's hungry? You think about, Jesus didn't even pray. See, to think about it, when the Holy Spirit works greatly through you, he just shows up. You ever say something to somebody and you didn't know you're saying it? And they're like, oh, wow, thank you. I needed that. Because you just showed up and the Holy Spirit's working outside of you. And sometimes, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for healing, but so many times Jesus just looked at the situation and he reached down to Peter's mother-in-law and touches her hand, instantly healed. And it's like, why can't do that to me? Why can't I be used like that by the Holy Spirit? Because if Jesus has all authority and he's given us all authority, don't you think you can walk in that all authority as well? I believe you can. Well, Pastor, I have this going. Well, get rid of this. Well, it's easier said than done, is it? Because a lot of times we'll say, well, I like this, so, you know. But Jesus walked in all authority. He's given you all authority. Now carry it out. Walk as if you have authority. And then when you walk as you have authority, you touch somebody and they can be instantly healed. How awesome would that be? So you have that authority. This is also in the book of Acts. A shadow of one of the apostles healed the people on the road. They were saying, oh, here comes, I want to say Peter, but I don't think it's right. I could be off. I don't remember what apostle it was. But they would see him coming down the road. They would come bring the sick out to the road, and he walked by them. His shadow would hit them, and they would rise up from their sick bed and be alive.
Ezekiel, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Peter. I know what you're talking about. I'll touch base with that too, Jeannie, here in a moment. But you think about it, here he is walking along. Can you imagine it's a nice sunny day, -2 out? You're walking along. And there's a shadow, the sun hitting you. And here comes a shadow, and somebody next to you, over here, who's walking the other way, gets hit by your shadow because the Holy Spirit is so strong in you and through you. They get healed. They're like, whoa, what's going on? The power of the Holy Spirit. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean we can't have it today. And what Jeannie was talking about, you have the bones. Dead man bones in a grave. He's dead. He's done. He's in our eyes, his life is done. This is the cool thing about prayer. It doesn't stop when you stop praying. Your prayers, every time you pray for your grandkids, your kids, those prayers are heard by God. And prayers always get answered by God. We don't know how. We don't know when. But they're always answered. And so this, the dead man's bones, he's in this tomb, in the cave. And these soldiers died. And so they chuck him into the tomb. They hit the bones. And they come running out. Hey, we're alive!
That would be scary.
Yes. But even though you might not feel anything, God can still work through you to reach other people. Even after you have passed away. There had to be people praying for me, obviously, before I got saved, from generations ago, because my parents weren't praying people. My grandparents weren't praying people. So somebody in my family lineage had been praying for this little snot-nosed little brat to get saved. And there was an opportune time for God to do it. And he caught me. And then he sent me on my way. I guarantee you there was people praying for my wife way before I met her. Lord, give her a husband that she can handle. They're still praying for that. But the thing about it, he reaches down. So it's just a touch of the master's hand. And guess what? You're the hand today of the master. So if he can heal the leper, if he can heal one by speaking, second, well, by saying you're healed. Second, he's sending the word. The guy's not even there. Now he reaches down and touches this lady, Peter's mother-in-law. Then she got up and made some food. Then verse 16. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with simple command. We're going to come to a day soon that we're all going to walk like Jesus did. And we're going to simply command these wicked spirits to leave. Won't be a 2-hour session. Won't be a 30-minute session. Because we're going to walk so close to Jesus that we will already know what's going on. Just like this morning, I was praying. And the Lord goes, hey, beat back this darkness. And lo and behold, we did, and people got set free. How awesome is that? See, I'm telling you, when you walk close to Jesus, he actually gives you heads up what you're going to walk into. He gives you insight to the meeting you're headed into. Insight to that family member that's coming over. You're like, the Lord's like, hey, prepare this. And you're like, oh, okay. And you do. And lo and behold, someone knocks on the door. Oh, I just got some fresh sweet little caramel rolls. Would you like some? But Jerry, you know that something? That's a testimony of God working in you to touch people in your apartment. That's the reason why he brought him over. Because of what God's working through you to touch him. To do a great and mighty work. Keep doing what you're doing. And God's continuing to do. And so the thing about it is that they brought him. And he just cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. Simple. Not complex. Not a football play thrown in there by the the coach to the quarterback and he has to decipher what it means. No, it's simple. Be set free. Simple. Gone. Done. Healed. Set free. And it feels good. That we don't have to wrestle. Because God already did it. Jesus already took the keys. Because if he did it for them, don't you think he can do it for those here in Dodge Center and Dodge County? Don't you think he can do it for your family? Well, they're not demon-possessed. Okay. Demon-possessed doesn't mean that they're rolling on the ground foaming at the mouth. This means they're not in their right mind. And they're not thinking correctly. And they're being influenced. Maybe a better way of saying it. They're being influenced by a spirit. And Jesus got rid of that influence in their life. That's maybe a better way for us Americans to understand it and interpret it. And so the thing about it is that Jesus, and then he goes, and he healed some of the sick. All. Who's part of the all? I am. I'm part of the all. I'm believing for a whole healing in my body. So.
Me too.
It doesn't matter. He didn't say Jesus only healed the youngins under 13 and under. He didn't say, oh, I only healed middle-aged Jewish men. It doesn't say he just healed the mother-in-laws who are older than the middle-aged people. He goes, everybody that came who needed healing, I gave it to them. When we stop believing that, we stop believing what Jesus did. We have to believe as believers that Jesus, if Jesus healed all in the Bible, why can't he heal all in the church?
We're supposed to be doing greater things than he did.
Yes. And we are commanded to do greater things. And so the thing about it, all means even that person that rubs you the wrong way, he wants to heal. Even the one that you might not, your personalities, just because your personality, there's nothing matter with them, but their just personality is just different than yours. God still wants to heal them. It doesn't matter. God wants to heal the brokenhearted. God wants to heal the ones that hurt you. God wants to heal the one that betrayed you. God wants to heal even you because you're part of the all. He wants to heal you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That's what God came to do, is to heal. He comes to give you life and life abundantly. The devil, sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the pit of hell. Because you'll never see a hospital in heaven. You'll never see an ambulance in heaven. Because sickness is not a part of God's plan. God has overcome sickness. Sickness. God has been healing people from the Old Testament through today. And people say, healing is not for today. Why would God start something great and then finish it already? Why wouldn't he give it to us still today, where we need a lot of healing? And not just spiritual, not just physically, but he wants to heal emotionally. He wants to heal mentally. He wants to heal relationshiply. He wants to heal brokenness. He wants to heal Minneapolis. As much as crazy as it is up there, God wants to heal Minneapolis. And so all who were sick. And since we're all part of all, he desires to heal. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said he took our sickness and removed our disease. Did you know everybody has a prophetic calling on their life? And what do I mean by that? Jesus was designed to carry out what he did. Even before he came to earth, at the laying of the foundation, Jesus goes, okay, Father, when they mess up, I'll be ready to go to earth. Laying at the foundation of the earth, Jesus says, I'm ready. And when he created Adam and Eve, he put them in a garden for a purpose. He had to attend the garden. I believe this is just my own viewpoint. I can't prove it scripturally. I believe if they were working the garden like they should have been, Satan, his voice would have been muffled. They would never entertain it. When we don't carry out what God's called us to do, we start entertaining the wrong voice. And the thing about it, we were created to do stuff, and the devil will throw everything and anything at us to keep us from fulfilling what he's called us to do. And so, Jerry, when your hands lock up, rebuke that thing and keep moving along. Because you were created to be a musician. To be a worshiper in the kingdom of God. When doubt and fear comes upon you, guess what? You look at it and says, you know what's beyond fear? Is your destiny. You really think about it. A lot of times when I get fearful or the unknown and I kind of pull back a little bit because I'm afraid, but yet I still like, okay, I'm going to do it anyways. There's such joy breaking through that fear. Because all it is a smoke screen. It's just like fog. Like, oh man, I'm afraid to drive. By the way, if you're training somebody how to drive, do not take them out in the fog. It's not good, is it, Aurora?
At night?
Yeah. Yeah, at night. It's not good at all. Even though if you know the roads, it's still not good. But when you break through that, just like last Sunday when Jared and I went up to the Twin Cities, I was apprehensive after I said, yeah, I'll do it. But I'm like, you know something? I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm getting myself in. Man, that was so much fun. And what God has done. Yeah, there's still a lot of issues. But yet, to think about it, to just be a part of what God's doing in the midst of that, it was wonderful. And God took care of us. See, a lot of times, our fear will rob us. It says in the Bible, that don't think about the bad things. Don't park your mind on the bad things. What if I show up and no one shows up? Who cares? It's you and God anyways. What if I don't know what to say? Guess what? I don't know what to say half the time anyways. I go to the hospital every Tuesday and Friday, visit Lori. I have no clue what I'm going to say to her. Because you know why? Because I have no clue how she's going to be. I really don't. But yeah, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, give me the words to say. How can I encourage her? But when you walk in and the first thing you see, she sees you now, she sees me now, she actually smiles. When I first started going up there, someone would ask her, who is this guy? Like, she didn't know who I was. But now, she knows, oh, this is pastor from the church. And she's like, I go, you like me coming up? She goes, yeah. And so even if it's only 15, 20 minutes, I have no clue what I'm going to say. This last time, I just stood there for like 5 minutes, just quietly holding her hand. You know, and then I pray for her and give her a hug because I don't know how much, in a good way, physical touch, just like this other guy.
How is she doing?
Ups and downs. She's getting strength in her legs, so hopefully she can move a little bit better.
Ron.
Yeah.
I was down there today. He was in bed, and And he says his hands, the arthritis, was just real painful today.
Okay, we'll pray for him at the end here. And so the thing about it is that the same disease that God's going to take care of, God wants to heal it. See, we're all created with that purpose. We're all created with a divine. Well, I messed up and I wasted out. No, no, don't think it that way. Think about now, I have all my rest of my life to carry out what God's called me to do. Because I can look back and I'm like, Lord, I wish I knew what I knew now 10 years ago when I first got hired. I wish I did. I wish I knew what I knew now 20 years ago. Wow. But I'm grateful for what I didn't know when I didn't know it. And I thank God that he took me through situations where I could have lost my life, where all these different things happened. But because of those things, God is such a great and gracious God. And he's a God of redeeming time. And so the thing about it, and then when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. And now his disciples already were making a commitment to Jesus. Now he's going to tell the crowd, you want to follow this man? I'll show you how. So he's doing all these miracles, doing all these, because it's easy to draw a crowd. Really want to. I mean, we could draw a crowd almost every weekend. You know, give away stuff. We could have bonfires. We could have hot dog giveaway day or steak giveaway. We could give pig giveaway, a steer giveaway. We could give a tractor giveaway. We could do all these cool giveaways. But that won't, some people might get saved, but they're like, wow, we're a fan of yours. I'm a fan of a lot of the preachers. I'm like, hey, you go for it. I follow them from a distance. But Jesus doesn't want us to be a fan or a follower. He wants to be a disciple. And then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. Oh, is it? I said that to Jesus several times in my life. And I ended back up in Minnesota in a wintry, cold winter night doing what he designed me to do. And Jesus goes on, he goes, foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, this home is not my home. In other words, this earth shouldn't matter where we live. Just do what he called us to do. And another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home, bury my father. Follow me now, let the spiritually dead bury their own. And so the thing about it is that, are you willing to forsake it all? When you do, you get results like Jesus. And he wants to heal you tonight. So two prongs tonight. If you want to be used greatly by God, we'll have an altar call for that. But then we also will have, first altar call, we'll have, if you want, if there's anything in your body, I'm just going to believe, we're going to put our hands on you, we're going to pray and believe for a healing. And then from there, if you want to be used greatly by God, we'll do that. And so we're going to pray, we're going to believe. I want to say thank you for coming out, enjoying this storm. And but we're going to believe for great miracles. If God can heal one of these, he can heal you as much as anybody else. So, Father,